Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
War replaced Vorp. Vorp was value over replacement player.
Vorp's gone by the wayside.
Yeah, Vorp has been like, that's like, what was the competitor to Blu-ray? Like DivX or what? No, DivX was the competitor to DVD that got like.
How about MySpace to Facebook?
And then there was HD DVD and then Blu-ray went out. Yeah, MySpace to Facebook. Vorp is so last year or last 20 years. Anyway, I would say probably you can squint and say Skeen's better than any of those Bonds years, but it's close. But more to the point for me,
yes,
that is the air the rarefied air he occupies.
I want to bring a tweet to your attention,
oh boy,
to Donnie's, to our listeners, and I want to know if you got this guy. I think we all like, but okay. He can't be serious with this. Dave Damashek from last night after Skeens' final start. He won't say it even though we'll say it again even though I know it won't happen, talking about Skeens. He says, during Skeens' Cy Young Award acceptance speech, he ought to say, Mr. Nutting, if we don't add one legitimate bat this offseason, I won't be there on opening day. Okay, fine. Like, that's an opinion that I think a lot of Pirates fans would rally around, regale him for, and agree with him on. But then in parentheses, he puts underneath it, by the way, the Buccos are going to the playoffs in 2026.
Dave, what's your smoking, brother?
Does anybody out there, even with the quality depth of starting pitching the Pirates have, does anybody really think they're going to make up enough ground on the two teams and maybe three teams that are going to make the playoffs in their division to be a playoff team next year? They are quite literally the worst hitting Pirates team of all time. You could have added Juan Soto to this lineup this year, and they still wouldn't have made the playoffs. You could have probably added Judge or Otani.
What happens if you add Cal Raleigh and take away their bad catchers?
I still don't think you go from 69 and 93 to the playoffs. No.
If you add Cal Raleigh and his 60 home runs and 125 runs batted
in, is he 14 wins above replacement good?
He's 7 wins, which is...
So that gets you from 69 to 76. Yeah. And let's say he gives you a little bit more because those guys are negative, negative war. Uh-huh. That gets you to 77 or 78.
You would need to add Cal Raleigh and probably Aaron Judge to this team then to have a playoff team.
You need hitters to, be much better next year, like internally.
All right, here's a problem for next year with Dave's statement that I have. Do you think that what I'm about to say is accurate? The best chance the Pirates have to add a major impact bat next year is if Connor Griffin is precocious and comes up by May, and they make a business decision on Super 2 and are willing to eat that, and they bring him up early. Do you think that is their best chance to add an impact bat at the major league level?
Probably, and I would say a close second would be trading a young starting pitcher for a young hitter.
So not even Mitch Keller at this point, because he might be too old, or trading him.
Who wants Mitch Keller
now? Well, that's the other part.
He's not that cheap, and he was
not that good.
He's not that good. And he had another second half stumble this year.
Neither one of those situations whereupon
he's a league average pitcher. He went 6-15.
Neither one of those situations whereupon you and I think about the most realistic scenario for them to add a true impact bat to next year's team involves the owner saying, all right, I see what we have here with Paul Skeens. He is the best pitcher in baseball. I am going to open up the wallet because I see my window here for a couple of years for the next, what, let's say 3 years if we're being generous with Paul Skeens. I have a three-year window where he and Connor Griffin could be the cornerstones of a real contender in a reasonably weak division, I think, other than the Brewers being crazy good this year. I'm going to do it. Neither one of us takes that as a particularly serious possibility.
Donnie, how about you? You think they're in the mix for the playoffs next year?
Realistically, no. I mean, they're going to do what they always do. Like, I don't believe that they will make a true effort to make the team better. They have a pitcher or two that they could deal in the offseason. I think Mitch Keller is somebody who, I don't know, maybe he gets them something like a comparable bat, but that still wouldn't be enough, and that would be their big move. Otherwise, it will be very similar to what they have kept doing, and then we'll get the same old thing once we hit April or May, like, hey, we did everything to ensure this would be a good ball club.
The way that they get better might just be they go from being a good pitching team to the best pitching team in baseball next year. That might be their best bet.
But even then, they are a really good pitching team. They led the league in strikeouts, and they're, what, 20-plus games below 500?
Let's play this game very briefly. Let's say they actually get better as a team pitching next year.
Yep.
Let's say Chandler shakes off whatever, like, just learned growing pains he had.
Yeah. And Ashcraft in the rotation for the full year.
You know, who else?
Burroughs.
Oviedo
for the full year.
You've got Barco, who you like, et cetera. So let me just humor you.
Jones comes back at some point and helps.
Yeah, he might be a closer at that point.
I could see that.
A bullpen arm,
yep.
Things are going right. If they spent $125 million total, so that's 35 to 40 more on some legitimate hitters. Say they just went crazy and said, Bo Bichette, we actually want to pay you to come to the Pirates. And Bichette said, I'll do it.
Okay.
And brought up Griffin.
Yep.
And then added, let's say, one or two other players who are solid major leaguers.
Uh-huh.
You wouldn't be talking about a team that could contend for a division. You'd be talking about a team that should win 90 games, if not more. It's not that far off from being real if they just commit to it. Which is why when they say, from the owner's box on down, there's an urgency for us to win, it feels like so many hollow words because the actions are very simple that you could take.
I still don't necessarily think that that would be enough. However, I would give them a lot more grace and I would give them a lot more understanding if they felt short. If they did those things.
Sure, you'd say they put in a real effort and it didn't work.
Greg Brown brought up about a month ago with us how they hate Artie Moreno in L.A., the Angels owner, even though he spent a lot of money. Well, the difference there is the expectation in Los Angeles is that a team is always going to spend money. So when you do that for a very long time, they've actually got a longer playoff drought than the Pirates. You do that for a very long time in that kind of quasi-demanding market, they're going to get to a point where they're fed up with no winning, regardless of if the payroll is $200 million. That's not apples to apples, nowhere close to it. Jason Mackey came on with us, I think, last week and said he thinks the payroll is going to be between $85 and $90 million next year. If that happens, you think fans are already either ambivalent, apathetic, or angry? It's going to only get worse. If that's where they're at, where would a $90 million payroll get them next year in terms of payroll rankings? 28th or 29th? In year three of Paul Skeens? After he wins the Cy Young and all he talks about are things like, let's get a winner here. You know, let's do better than the wild card game in 2013. And then put on to, like, what if Charrington's the architect of it again? What if they got a $90 million budget and it's Ben Charrington's job to very judiciously spend a small amount of money?
What's the going
Anybody
rate
trust
for,
him to do that?
What's the going rate for more analysts these days? I think if you got to that point and it was all of the same people with the same budget trying to do the same thing that they failed to do this year.
Yeah.
I think that what we have said for a while, that Skeens' presence would magnify their failures and make people even angrier. It wouldn't be much happiness that you get to watch this guy. It would be enraged frustration. You and I have seen a lot in this town, working both apart and together as far as fan reaction to stuff. I think the level of fan anger at that point, even with a guy like Griffin on the way, et cetera, would be unlike anything we've ever seen.
I think if the plan, I agree. I think if the plan is to keep the payroll like almost right where it is, I think they have to fire Charrington. For a PR, from a business perspective, if you even if you've got to pay him a little bit of money to leave, if you keep him and you keep the payroll the same, there's going to be like no buzz for next year. If they were to, if we found out that the payroll was going to go up to like $110 million, even though you or I and many others don't trust Charrington to spend the money, right? If he was the guy that got to do it, I still think fans would be like, well, I mean, the owner's
spending more.
At least he's opening up the checkbook, right?
You get one of the two. You either get or you'd get.
That's a great question. Would you rather keep the payroll static or keep Charrington around? New GM, payroll static, same GM, more money spent. I'm picking that one. I'm picking more money in Charrington back.
I think money talks and you know what walks, and I can't say it on the air because the FCC monitors this show.
But then the FCC doesn't care if people swear on College Game Day or McAfee show. So which one is it?
So do you think they very figuratively say, ah, bleep it, when Lee Corso literally says, ah, bleep it? Well, yeah, how does Pat get away with that? When they put it over here...
Saban's on... He's cursing up a blue streak on game day last week. Again. And nothing... It just goes out over the air. It's not delayed. Meanwhile, like...
Yeah, what is happening? I never really thought about that much. I'm maybe desensitized to it. Why are they just assuming that little kids aren't watching?
Meanwhile, Amanda, we're watching the Ravens and Lions game, and I forget who scored a touchdown for the Lions. It might have been... Montgomery,
chances are.
And there's like a celebration and there's no audio.
Because somebody said something.
And she's like, what's going on here? And I'm like, it's because these guys
were swearing.
And the cameras got too close and they picked it up. Yeah.
And these games are always on like a 10-second delay from live.
Yeah, but at 1 o'clock, if McAfee wants to say,
you know, we can't say any of the things.
A-hole five times, he can.
Or the S-word five times.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Time for Total Request Thursday. A little bit early, you picked the topic here at 5:15. Your four options were the following. 7% of you want us to talk about the future of Donnie Kelly, a local man, a Point Park product, a Mount Lebo alum, just like Adam Crowley, and a man who, despite not playing anymore, still hikes up his socks as manager of the Pirates. Very few managers still dress in full uniform. Terry Francona is one of them. So is Mike Schilt of the Padres. Both of those teams going to the playoffs. Advice for Donnie Kelly next year. Wear a full uniform. The old heads used to do it. I thought it was funny when you had old curmudgeonly managers like Bobby Cox who dressed like they were going to actually get into the game.
How about like Earl Weaver just going out to scream at the umpire?
Gene Lamont. In full uniform.
Didn't Terry Collins for the Mets wear the full uni?
Yeah.
In that famous thing where Neil Walker gets caught on mic.
I don't like the pullovers and like the half hoodies.
Well, you know what it's become, though? The equivalent? In basketball, college hoops, everyone wears quarter zips now.
Yeah, go back to the full suits like Rick Pitino, the godfather, who's probably cheating and thinking about ways to get laid in an Italian restaurant.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's probably only thinking about that for a few
seconds. Surprising. Good one. Sorry, I walked all over that. 21% of you want us to talk about Ben Charrington and his future. Although that would be a hotter topic. 33% said, talk about the owner. 39% said, we want you boys to talk about the man, the myth, the legend, Paul Skeens. Paul Skeens had himself a night. after he shut down the Reds for six innings in a very hitter-friendly ballpark and didn't get the good luck of having Key Brian Hayes in the Reds lineup as he was given the night off as an automatic out. He went into the dugout and then watched the excruciating late-inning events.
Watched them do what they always do, Chalice.
Gave away a lead, so he finished the season without a winning record. But when they were getting out of jams, the Pirates' bullpen, the cameras fixed on him, and he was like goading the Reds fans who were obviously in their feelings and having a hard time processing the fact that they can make the playoffs, and here they are losing to the Pirates or tied with the Pirates again. And he was razzing them a little bit, and I enjoyed that. And I also liked the fact that Livy Dunn was there, and she seemed to be very, very, very into every pitch. And she is much younger than me, so I don't do the horny guy thing with Livy Dunn the way that a lot of our listeners do, because I'm like, she's 23.
Like 23, 22.
And I'm almost 40.
Yeah. So half your age plus seven.
She doesn't even fit in the Arnold Palmer sweet spot.
Wait, is that
him? I think Palmer came up with that.
Half your age plus seven, she does fit. Half your age is basically 18 or 19 plus seven.
Yeah, she's not 26.
Oh, no, that's right. She's out of it. Yeah, you're right. Sorry.
She's too young.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, she's not even close to it.
And
I was doing it wrong.
But I will confess, I did find it a little bit of a turn-on to see how much she was into it.
Speaking of the HGQ, did you see that during the midday show?
All right.
They put this cardboard cutout of Tate McRae, Canadian pop star, very attractive younger woman.
All right. I didn't know who that was until this second.
I had heard of her like twice. And they put a very, you know, she's got a sultry come hither look about her. And they put her in the empty chair where Kibale, of all people, usually sits in the studio. Received word that a miracle occurred, that an inanimate object became lifelike and took form and spoke. Austin asked the cutout on a date, and Tate McRae, the cutout, said no, turned him down.
I heard them driving in. I heard Donnie make reference of Tate McRae, and I honestly thought it was like a Whippeel running back.
Well, Tate McRae would be more likely, if we're talking about a Canadian star, to be like a stay-at-home defenseman for the Leafs.
Because Donnie said something about Tenuta, and I'm like, well, it has to be, you know, some kid that's at Avonworth or Bell Vernon or something.
Yeah, he was like, Tenuta, get out of here.
Yeah, I heard that. All right, Bucko Auction House.
Oh, my God, is it just down to the
Bucko Auction House review here. We have been bidding on Pirates props and bets all season long. Famously, Donnie won this and was able last year to sit in the home plate club for Paul Skene's debut, of all things. Mm-hmm. And so we're vying for these home plate club tickets again in 2026. We've been bidding on these things since March. Mm-hmm. Is Donnie going to repeat as champion?
I don't think so. This did not go particularly well for the football guy. You ready?
Yep.
I'm just going to go in order here because I still haven't touted them all up. Donnie, Paul Skene strikeouts over 220. That's hard luck right there.
Oh, he barely lost.
And
that
how many times did they pull him early from games probably where he would have easily gotten home?
Not to mention early in the season, he made it like a goal to not strike guys out because he's that much of a freak where he's like, yeah, I can just determine if I strike the guy out or not.
That's a rough beat. I needed him to have one more strikeout last night in order to win my actual FanDuel bet on him for strikeouts because the number was 209.5. And when they started talking about rain screwing with the game, I was very, very nervous that they were just going to cancel his final start and I was going to lose that bet by one strikeout. So I'd like to thank Mother Nature for cooperating for him.
Pony, you had David. I'm just going to go through it here. Pony, these are our opening day bets or auction items. You had David Bednar saves over 10, rocking chair.
Breezed through that one.
Donnie had O'Neill Cruz home runs over 27. It looked for a little bit early in the season like he was going to have a breakout. My God, did somebody pull the e-brake?
It was called the Home Run Derby, and I ripped him for playing in it, and everyone got mad at me. They should have been mad at O'Neill Cruz, so that's an L for him. And not me.
Donnie, Pirates wins. This got sealed today. I had this already as a loss. That just tells you where my head was at. He had over 73. He could have pushed had they won today and swept the Braves. That's an L. Donnie, and again, a theme here is just pain for our guy. When he could get pushes that don't help him or hurt him, Paul Skeens wins over 11.
Oh, jeez, dude.
So what, Tyler Stevenson literally cost you a push there?
Last night, yeah.
Ponies, Thomas Harrington, ERA, under 5.95. That's an L.
Wait, what did he finish at,
the Pirates? Big Tom Harrington?
Probably like 17.
I want you to guess what Tom Harrington finished at.
It's got to be like 12.
Thomas Harrington's ERA this year was 15.58.
All right, so I'm even right now. You're even, and Donnie's minus 4.
That's correct. I am plus 1, however, because Alexander Canario's home runs was over 5, and he got 6.
You bastard.
Plus 1 for the big boy.
You might win this thing.
No, you'll find out. I'm going to come back to Earth soon. Paul Skeens ERA for you, under 230. Great job. I mean, none of us could have imagined that would be a rocking chair under 232.
I'm surprised you guys didn't push me on that a little bit more.
I thought, like, maybe we should have assumed we were watching like singular levels of greatness, but that's a pretty low number to begin with. I had Bart over 14 home runs, put me right back to even.
Andrew, he came nowhere close to that this year.
No, he did not. Andrew McCutchen batting average for you, Pony, over 221.
He's going to get there, I think.
Going to get there easily. He's at 240. I think he could go 0 for the rest of the season and be there.
Thank you, Andrew. Easily.
Henry, this one is where it gets fun for me. This one has not been bolded as a win or put in red as an L. Henry Davis batting average for me, over 156. He is at 160.
he might not play again, though, because Skeens
is catcher. But here's what I need to have happen. Later on, you'll hear that I have him at over 7 home runs and he's at 6. I need him to hit a pinch hit home run to push that one.
I guess it's the old would you rather have the win or the low ERA argument, Malzy, because I don't think you're getting both.
No, I know. Just give me the batting average one. It's funnier. This one, actually, I could do a rant on right now as to how pathetic this is. O'Neal Cruz OPS, I had it over 775. He's barely going to get within 100 points.
775?
I thought, Pony, it was in line with his career numbers to that point. It was. One of my favorite ones that got decided literally in the first month of the year. And Manuel Valdez, RBI for Donnie, over 10.
I forgot that guy existed.
He got to 12 and then got hurt for the entire season.
That guy's a legend forever in my book.
We'll run through these quickly, but they're so funny, I kind of want to linger. Pony, Pirates wins against the Cubs in 2025. Over 5, they went 3-10.
Jesus, what was I doing there?
Donnie.
I knew from the second I got that one, though, that it was a loser. I told you guys that.
Donnie.
I think that was one where he tried to
He tried to sneak it up there and then leave us holding the bag.
We didn't go.
Donnie, that's when I think we started to figure out some of his little reindeer games he likes to play here. Andrew Heaney season ERA, Donnie, under 3.98.
Oh, my God,
he said
Donnie.
Almost 5.5.
What happened there?
Yeah, he sucks.
He had one good month, and then he decided to be the worst pitcher in baseball. So we saw the best pitcher and the worst pitcher in baseball in the same year, on the same team.
Tom Harrington would like to have a word. Pony has another one here. Andrew McCutchen, I can't put it in the ground yet, as a loss, over 720 OPS. He's at 705 right now.
He's not getting there.
He'd have to have what?
No, that's not.
He'd have to have like an almost unheard of three-game run.
That's not happening.
So that's an L.
I'm at even right now.
Pony, Pirates wins under Don Kelly in 2025, over 54. You got there. They had 12 under Derek Shelton. They got 69 wins.
They got 57 right now.
Yeah, you got there.
Thank you, Donnie.
Reynolds batting average for me, over 242. He is at 243 right this second.
So if he had gotten that home run today,
we'd probably be at what, 244?
Oh,
at least.
Man.
Paul Skeens losses for Donnie, a win under 11. He went 10-10. It's like kissing your sister with that one, Don. The length of 4 runs or fewer streak, I said it would end before 30 games. I was right. Tommy Pham's last day on the Pirates roster, I said it would be before July 7th.
Still here, baby.
He was about to be playing here July 7th of 26.
Pony, Pirates 2025 wins over 59, rocking chair.
Oh,
we shouldn't have let you get away with that. You had Braxton Ashcraft as well, season ERA under 470. He's at 262. Great job.
Thank you.
O'Neal Cruz steals, though. This is like giveth and taketh away. Over 48 seemed like a lock. He's not going to get there.
What's he at?
38.
He's been at the same numbers for like 3 months.
Yeah, he has been. I had Mike Burrow's strikeouts over 24. That was fun. I like that a lot.
He hit that, didn't he?
Yes, I did. Donnie, Pirates wins in the month of June. He hit it over 12. Henry Davis.
He always hits those ones on the last day.
I know. Henry Davis season home runs. We have to wait because that was over 7.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Heaney, Pirates starts the rest of the season. I hit it. It was over 9, and then they kicked his ass out of there like it was Roadhouse. Tommy Pham batting average, it's a hit, over 215. He's way
for you?
Clear. Yeah, he's way clear.
Malsy, you might win this thing.
Ponies, O'Neill Cruz home run derby bet, over 15. You got it.
Yep.
Here is one where tomorrow, you want to talk about a big one. Mitch Keller wins for the season, over 7. He's got a push by getting a win tomorrow.
Whose bet is that?
That's you.
Oh, crap.
He's probably going to lose. Oh, no decision. Donnie, O'Neill Cruz, post All-Star break homers, over 12. No chance.
What the hell were you smoking when you bet that one?
I think he hit like one or two.
I mean, I had to double down because I had him on the season.
Skeen's second half wins, so decisions, over 4 for me. I got it. He got on a tear.
Yep.
Second half post All-Star break wins for you, Pony, over 27. I actually have to count that one, man.
Yeah,
All-Star
me too.
Break, the All-Star break, they went in 39-58.
They've got 30 wins.
Okay, they got there. Put it in the bold. We've got a couple more here, just 3 more ponies, so stay patient. McCutchen home runs for Donnie, over 14. Andrew McCutchen is at 13. Oh, okay. Sweet sassy molasses.
That's a question mark I'm putting down.
What was it? Number of Pirates trades between now and 6 o'clock Thursday on the trade deadline day? You had over 5. I think they made 5.
Yeah, that was
that
a push.
That was a push. Bubba Chandler, Pirates starts in 2025, over 1. He's made...
He made...
Made 3, I think, at least.
He made 2, I thought.
Chandler
he had the
started,
horrible one on week 1 of the NFL season.
Yeah, he made 3.
Season.
Oh, yeah, let's 3. Go.
Damn it. Why did we let him...
Is that all of them?
That's it.
All right, so Donnie adds up to minus 1, minus 2, minus 3, minus 4, minus 3, minus 4, minus 3, minus 2... Minus 3. He's at minus 3. That's a good golf score.
Yes, it is.
Malzy is even, minus 1, even, minus 1, even, plus 3.
Oh, let's go, baby.
Now I got a tally mine up here.
You had a ton of liability, though. You were all over the map.
All right, right now, even, plus 2, even, plus 3, plus 2, plus 3, plus 4, plus 5.
But Keller could bring you down to plus 4. Davis,
and you need Davis to come through and Reynolds to come through.
You and I could tie here.
Yeah.
What happens then? Do we take each other to dinner?
I guess. But right now you're on Henry Davis average, Henry Davis home runs, and Brian Reynolds average watch, and I need Keller to win.
If Keller loses, you go down to plus 4, right?
Yep.
And do I need all 3 to catch you?
No, you're at plus 3.
So if I get
depends
2 of the
on
3,
if you get
I'll
pushes
go plus
and-
4.
Depends if you get pushes and
can
wins.
You imagine if my boy Henry Davis hits a pinch hit
home run?
I'm going
to be so pissed if that happens.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Topic of the day. It's called the Donnie Football Debrief. It's brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread Company, over 100 years of baking experience. Football Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. Sly Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King this season. Dwight, the general, faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built to protect his empire. Stream the new season of Tulsa King now, exclusively on Paramount Plus. And we have, during the breaks, just been doing our own impressions of Sylvester Stallone on this show, dealing with...
Dwight Balboa.
Yeah, problems in Tulsa, like them not being able to get good gabagool down there.
You know, I told him. So I said, Mick.
See, I think they have to
no
put...
gabagool.
I think they have
Tulsa's
to put some...
Good city.
They have to put some Rambo and Rocky Easter eggs in that show. Like, he's just, like, laying it in bed, and there's just, like, a picture of Burt Young
or he's like,
on the mantle. Burgess Meredith, maybe.
So it's a distillery that he's talking about in those promo things people have heard, right?
You know, it's an interesting business.
What if the distillery was on the other side of the street? It was, you'd always see them talking on the sign. It was,
it's Drago's restaurant. Why don't we go there? it's on Apollo Avenue. Let's go to Drago's.
Clubber Lane.
They should. You're right.
That is really too
But I easy. Feel like Stallone just like, that was a chapter in his life that he's closed. And he doesn't want to be known as Rocky Balboa and whatever the hell Rambo's.
They're still making Creed movies.
But the weird
thing. True, good point.
The weird thing is.
But he's not in them.
A little bit of that Rocky voice put on where it's like he's drawling and trying to sound that way.
It's what we hear in the promos.
But it seeps into every character he does subsequently. If you've ever heard him if you've ever heard him talk completely normally when he's not doing a movie, he doesn't sound like that. But I feel like that has just become part of every character.
Hey, you know, we're going to go to this distillery. We're going to take it over. It's an interesting business here.
Call my guys back in Jersey. Make sure we get the gabagool.
All right, Don, what do you got in the football?
Yo, Adrian.
The debrief, September 25, 2025. This is one that I think you'll get a bit of a chuckle out of. Pony, you've met this guy. I think you've interviewed this guy. You may have seen him at the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. This came from the Kay Adams show today. Former Seahawks running back Sean Alexander and his wife Valerie expecting their 14th child.
Oh, my God.
Step aside Phil Rivers. Not only can they field a whole side of the team, they have three bench players.
The two of them should move to Pittsburgh, bring all of their kids, and probably would win the single-A title in the Whippeal.
I told you guys.
They would beat Baldwin.
You guys when we were at when I was at the Super Bowl that Lisa Kearney was our host on that show, the old SportsCenter anchor, and Lisa's husband was Seahawks defensive end Pat Kearney, still is actually, they're still married, and so she knew Sean, and she was talking to Sean off the air, and she said, how many kids do you guys have now? And he said 12. And I asked, like, hey, are any adopted anything from previous relationships? She said no. And I immediately came on the air with you guys after that show was done and told you about that. Like, this is incredible. And he was telling me stories about, like, the vehicle they drive around in and how,
like, is it just a school bus?
And how laundry works and meals and everything else.
I mean, they made a whole show out of, 19 kids and counting, those people. And it looked like an industrial production. They literally had to, and Sean Alexander presumably made a lot more money than the 19 kids and counting people ever did.
Uh-huh.
So I would think financially, if he handled his money right, which it sounds like I'm going to guess he did, Pony, that they're doing fine. But man, he's 48. He's been married to his wife since 02, so 23 years, mid-20s. I'm going to assume that she is within a year or two of him in age. Would you assume that as well?
I don't know that for certain, but I mean, I think
she couldn't
it's definitely
be that
possible.
Much. She couldn't be that much younger than him. Even if you took it at, let's just assume something I know isn't true, that he married her when he was 25 and she was 18, which we know didn't happen. She would still be 41 years old. So let's just assume it was at least like at no more than a 4-year age gap. She's in her mid 40s having child number 14. Like, has she had these children via C-section, natural, like regular
delivery?
That I don't
know about.
Like, I just would wonder, here's the other thing, man. Like, mid-40s, you don't have the same energy you did, even if you're a pro athlete.
But they got
it
down to a science at this point.
Well, here's the real thing is this. The oldest kids are absolutely old enough to take care of the baby.
Good point.
Like, he's presumably got, they have 10 daughters and 3 sons so far. He's got to be rooting for one more son. He'll never admit it. He's got to be hoping he can get one more. He might not even be done having kids after this. Who knows? Their oldest children, I would guarantee you, are old enough to like be caretakers for a baby. And also, I would imagine, it seems like they got a pretty grounded family. I doubt like the oldest kids are jagoffs who are like, I want to do my own thing, Dad.
My reaction to this as a man that's now been married for 8 years is I'm just impressed that they're still getting it in.
Well, yeah, I think like if your goal is to have that many kids, like you're not just going to bed angry very often.
They have a big house, but still, how are they finding the time and the space even to do that?
some personal, hey, kids, the door is locked, so you don't go in mom and dad's room.
Yeah, but like a lot of those kids are teenage years. That's going to gross them out. They know what they don't want to picture their parents doing that stuff.
Who says they have to picture it? They know that it's happening. Just go do something else. Play video games. Read a book.
I don't know, man. If I knew my parents were getting it out of the next room, just playing video games would make me feel better about that situation. It would still freak me out.
Wait, how much older are you than your youngest sibling?
My sister is 13 years younger than me.
So you didn't know what was happening when that...
Well, my dad got remarried, and I didn't live with my dad.
Okay.
So I didn't have to really think about that.
Okay.
You know, like I knew obviously it happened. I knew where kids came from at that point. But I knew I wasn't around for it, which put me at ease. Seriously.
Put you at ease.
Yeah. You don't want to hear or see that or know that that's going on when you're a teenager.
I feel like...
Maybe so, now that I'm older in life, like it obviously has changed, but...
I feel like his family, just based on all the names, it looks like biblical names, is pretty religious, I'm going to hazard a guess. I feel like they're probably also not thinking about it in the terms you are here. 14 children, man.
I don't know, man. I think that most, if not all, teenagers are kind of freaked out by their parents having sex. Whether you get down with the Lord or not, I still think you weren't at 15. If you had a feeling that your parents were getting it on, like a 15-year-old,
I just never made sure to think about it. I was 9 when my parents had my sister.
So you just assume when you were in your teenage years it wasn't happening anymore?
Again, you occupy your mind with other things rather than sitting there idly wondering about this. What was the football fix? Oh, yeah, it was about all this.
Yeah, I'm not off topic at all. This is exactly what the topic is.
Yeah, this has gone way...
Donnie wanted to introduce the topic. Hey, Sean Alexander is still pumping out kids. What do you guys think about it? I'm delivering exactly what he wanted here.
Does he remember each name easily?
100%. Yeah, that's not...
Yeah, I mean, I like screw up and call Lennox Ace or Ace Lennox once in a while. That has to happen to him on a pretty similar basis. Here's the other thing. And this is just something I feel like I can say as a parent, because people I know who have girls instead of boys have never had a boy. We are only going to have two and two boys. I do feel for Sean Alexander, maybe his wife more so in this way. I feel like teenage girls fight with their mother a lot.
Okay.
And Mrs. Alexander's got to go through that at least 10 times total since they got 10 girls. That feels like it could be a very emotionally charged household. A lot of yelling matches. Sean's probably there playing peacemaker. I wonder if he and the three boys just kind of go off by themselves, like, yeah, we'll let your mother handle this. Are those kids being asked to cook dinner?
Oh, they all got jobs. It's free labor.
Well, you have to, right?
100%.
Imagine the
all
messes.
The dirty laundry. Imagine and dishes messes. And whatnot. That's what I'm saying.
What man. Is the age where you would teach the kid and trust the kid to do the laundry correctly?
15? Maybe 14?
I think like 12, you got to be able to handle business.
What do you think is the age they trust the older siblings to change diapers?
10.
10?
10 or 11, you should be able to change a diaper if you're... Yeah.
I think a number one for sure. I don't know if I'd trust a 10-year-old to get all the nooks and crannies.
Okay, yeah, if we're talking about the nooks and crannies versus just the act of are you going to be grossed out, yeah, you might be right. I think by 12, you better have it down pat. And it sounds like in that household, you don't have a choice.
Donnie, have you ever changed a diaper in your life?
I have. I mean, I have a...
Your niece.
Niece. I mean, we have friends that have very, very small children. I told you, we were babysitting yesterday. I didn't change one there, but...
Donnie, have you been following...
I at least have one plus under the belt.
Donnie, have you been following the YouTube chat during this entire situation?
I have not, unfortunately.
Oh, why?
I mean, there are just... Johnny the Barber's getting jokes off. Stoner Johnny's wondering why we haven't taken his calls. There are puns being made about Jory Rand's taint.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
TNCs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.